As we get into the message this morning, let me set the scene for you, okay? Where we're going to be in the scripture. Imagine you are in a very small, very quiet, tiny town. No more than a few hundred people in this town. Some might call it a rural town. Some might say it's an obscure town that you wouldn't even find on the map because it's that small. Some of you, by show of hands, how many of you have lived in that town before? Okay, good. So you can identify with this story. Good. Now, in this small little village is a girl, and her name is Mary. Mary is about 13, 14 years old. She's got her parents. She's living her life. She's reached the age that it's time to get married. Imagine that, ladies, getting married at 13 or 14 years old. She's living her life following God. She's a good kid. She minds her own business in this small town of hers. And it's a place where she would be overlooked, just like her town is often overlooked. In fact, just a point about her town, Nazareth, the famed Jewish historian of the time, Josephus, never, not once, in all of his writings, all of his historical writings about the Jewish people, not once does he mention the town of Nazareth, because it's that obscure of a town. It's that small, that insignificant. She and her fellow Jews have been waiting for a miracle. At this time, Israel had been conquered and ruled over by the oppressive Roman government for about 70 years. Excuse me. And the people of Israel at this time are frustrated. They're angry. They had not had a prophet for about 400 years at this point. So they hadn't heard from God. And now, yet again, as in much of their history, they've fallen under the rule of an outside oppressive government. Put yourselves in their shoes. You'd be frustrated too, wouldn't you? All of this is the backdrop. All of this is the backdrop for the birth of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to be looking at Mary's interaction with the angel Gabriel. I think it has something profound to share with us today. And I hope that for you, this will be something fresh. I mean, many of us who have been in the church or who have gone to church at Christmas time every year, you hear this story over and over again. So I'm hoping that this is something fresh for you. There are three things that we're going to talk about this morning. First of all, the ordinary meets the extraordinary. The ordinary meets the extraordinary. In your life, I hope to show you that God's extraordinary can meet you too if you feel ordinary today. How many of you feel ordinary? I would be one of those people, okay? I feel ordinary. I don't feel anything special. All right, second thing we're going to talk about is that God's word is faithful. God's word is faithful. His promises are true. God is somebody you can trust. His word is something you can trust. And then finally, the third thing we're going to learn is that we can have hope beyond impossibilities. Hope beyond impossibilities. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, you can open it up or your phone, but it will be on the screen behind me. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It says this: In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." How many of you would like to have an angel tell you that? That's pretty cool, right? Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I mean, she's a teenager, right? She's this obscure teenage girl. Like, why would an angel be saying this about her, right? "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age." Now, just so you know, she was like 90. So, I mean, this is an old lady getting pregnant. Some of you old ladies in the room, imagine being pregnant now. Yeah. I mean, that's a miracle, right? Here's Elizabeth pregnant, right? People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Someone say amen. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. Now I need to pause for a second because we're talking about the extraordinary meets the extraordinary here. Some of you have made this point already multiple times. Yes, I'm wearing a tie. It's okay. Get used to it. It's only going to happen once a year. Or don't get used to it because it's not going to happen a lot, okay? It is an extraordinary moment. Take your pictures. Any year, you'll see it again, okay? Let's break this passage down a bit, okay? So at the beginning of the passage, a lot takes place. We find out that Mary is in this town of Galilee. Again, it's a small town, Nazareth. And the angel comes down, and it's the middle of Elizabeth's pregnancy. We find out that Mary is engaged to be married to this guy, Joseph, who is a descendant of King David. And Mary is told something that is quite incredible. 13, 14-year-old girl, you have found favor with God. Now we have some teenagers in the room. Any of you teenagers who think you're insignificant, that your time with God, your relationship with God doesn't really matter, can I tell you you're absolutely 100% wrong? That God can do something extraordinary even through a teenager? He did it right here. He brought the Savior of the world through a teenage girl. Why? Because she was a faithful believer in God. She followed God. So don't use your age as an excuse. And adults, stop looking at teenagers as, oh, they're just teens. They're important to God too. They're important for God's mission too. God does extraordinary things through ordinary teenagers. We also find out that she's a virgin. And God, through the angel Gabriel, gives this message, this story, this truth that is going to take place. This message, you could say it's the ordinary meeting the extraordinary right here. This is an extraordinary message that the angel is giving to Mary. Can you imagine being in her shoes? I mean, sandals, not shoes. But can you imagine for a second being this teenage girl? This is an interruption to her life of enormous magnitude, isn't it? She's about to get married. She's about to start her life as an adult. And God is asking her to set aside her life to bear the Savior as a teenager. What an extraordinary thing for God to ask. Now, Mary has only one reaction to this. Other than being scared and afraid, she has a question. That's all she can do is muster a question to the angel. How could this be? Mary, she can't see how it could be humanly possible for her to have a baby conceived since she's a virgin, right? Which would be any normal human being's reaction to this, right? Like, that's not possible. That's not possible. I'm a virgin. I can't have a baby. That's not how things work. Can we stop relying on science and trust that God is bigger than science? God does extraordinary things. God does miracles that don't make sense. And guess what, church? You're not always going to understand it. I don't understand the virgin birth. It doesn't make sense to me. But you know what? It doesn't have to. It happened. It's real. Mary's trouble this year reflects on the tension that exists between our human limitations, real human limitations, and the reality of divine possibilities. Let me ask you, how often do you wrestle with the feasibility of God's plans for your life? To put it another way, have you ever told God something like, what you are asking me to do is not possible, God? Don't ask, because it's not going to happen. My life is a representation of, you test God, watch and find out. I've said it before, I never, ever would have expected God to take me to Oregon. But He did. And I lived there for 4 years in Oregon. I never expected to be a lead pastor. I never thought that I had the gifting or the ability to be a lead pastor. And I'm still learning. But God brought me here. That's a God thing. I think of the Gravenders and their story. Well, why? Why the Gravenders here? They're from Indiana, and they chose to come to Greenwood, South Carolina to retire away from their kids. But they're here, and we love them, right? It's a God thing. It doesn't make sense, but yet God still works it out. We have the Gates family. They came from New York to South Carolina. I mean, maybe because it's warmer and there's no snow. But, and it's not New York, so that's a win. Jesus says later in His life that with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that this morning, church? Let's talk about His word being faithful. Verses 35 through 37 said this. The angel replies, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Someone say amen. In this part of the passage, the angel Gabriel reassures Mary. And he reassures us through Mary, through this story, that God is in control. And with God, all things are possible. Church, God's word is faithful. It's reliable. It's consistent. It's trustworthy. It's true. In the New King James Version of the Bible, verse 37 reads, "With God, nothing will be impossible." Let me show you something really cool. At least I think it's cool as a pastor. Look at this passage out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "All right then, the Lord Himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Now that's pretty cool, right? Maybe this was written after Jesus was born. No, that actually, Isaiah, he actually wrote that 700 to 800 years before Jesus. That is a prophecy about the coming Christ written 7 to 8 millennia before Jesus existed. Somebody say that's cool. Okay, somebody said that's cool. Good. God's word is faithful. Now, you might say, well, that's just one example. You can cherry pick any of those. I tell you there are over 300 prophecies, individual prophecies about Christ. And the chance that one person will fulfill all of those prophecies, there aren't enough people who have lived on the planet to even make that happen as a reality. It's that not possible. But yet it happened with Jesus. Because again, God's word is faithful and nothing is impossible without God. Now check out these verses. First from Jeremiah 32, 17. "O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you." God is capable. Nothing is too hard for Him. Does this give you hope this Christmas Eve morning? How about from Matthew 19:26? I referenced this passage earlier. Jesus looked at them intently and he said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for God. God's power is not confined by our human limitations. God specializes in making the impossible possible. Does this give you hope this Christmas Eve morning, church? We can have hope beyond impossibilities, church. Do you trust Him this morning? The same God who came to earth as the baby Jesus, who was born in a manger to two young kids, is the same God who overcame death itself to give you the greatest gift of all time, eternal life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life." It's a gift for all. It's offered freely, church. As we tie a bow on this Christmas Eve message today, I want to remind you, God is still in the business of giving his followers divine interruptions like he did with Mary and Joseph. Fellas, God's not going to ask you to be the father of the King of Kings. Good news, right? You don't have to take that burden on. Ladies, you're not going to have to birth Jesus. But God calls each of us to be his representatives to this dark and lonely world. There is no exception to that. When you believe and follow Jesus, you are expected by Christ to be an ambassador for him. Nobody gets to sit on the sidelines. So are you going to be that light to the world? Let me remind you what it says in the book of Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." In uncertain times, trust in God's wisdom and God's guidance. We need to realize that we don't know everything. God has a better idea of what you need and what you need to be doing. That's kind of unsettling, isn't it? You're not the master of your own universe. You don't know everything. You're not in control of everything. There's somebody up there that's way stronger than you. But here's the thing. God is faithful. Nothing is impossible with him. And because of those things, we can have hope beyond impossibilities. This morning, I know we have people visiting us. Some of you, this may be your first time in a church ever. Some of you, this is the only time you go to church every year. May I encourage you? No matter where you find yourself, you belong here. You are welcome here. And God loves you. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If everybody would bow their heads, close their eyes. Like I said a moment ago, I know there are people in this church, in this room, with this many people that don't know you, don't know the Father. I want to give you an opportunity. If you find yourself in that space and you've heard something today and something has been stirred inside of you that God loves you, that God wants you to have a relationship with him, I'm going to give you the opportunity to have that relationship. If you want that relationship, just in the quiet of your own heart, repeat these words. God, I am a sinner. I need you in my life. Forgive me for everything that I've done. that is not from you. Make me more like you. I commit to following you for all my days. Now, for some of you, you have followed Jesus. You've chosen to follow him. And somewhere along the way, things have broken down. The relationship between you and Christ has broken. But today, maybe you want to take that step to renew that relationship. If that's you, repeat these words with me. God, I turn back to you. I don't deserve your forgiveness, but I know you're faithful to forgive me. God, make me more like you. Let me be your representative to this dark and lonely world. Now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you prayed that prayer, one of those two prayers this morning, would you do me a favor? I just want to be able to encourage you and pray for you. Would you just stick your hand up in the air, just real brief, so that I can see your hand? I see that. See that hand? Awesome. Awesome. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for a great Christmas Eve service. While we're not done yet, Father, you have already been moving. Your Holy Spirit is here. You promise where two or more are gathered, you are here with us, so we can know for sure that you are here. And I guarantee, God, you are smiling. That it warms your heart to hear your people singing praises to your name. To hear the truth found in your word broken open today. And Father, we also know, as it says in Luke 15, when someone turns to you and gives their life to you, there are angels having a party in heaven. So there is a party going on in heaven right this very minute. Amen to that. Father, what a great Christmas. Father, before we leave this place today, let us remember that we are your ambassadors. We are your representatives to this world. You live inside of us to show the light to the world, your light. So, Father, shine through us, we pray. Let us be perfect representations of you as best as we can. Pray this in your name, and everyone said, Amen.